Dear friends, by now you may have heard that we are in the middle of an exciting raffle. The details of this raffle can be found on www.suburbanorthodox.org/raffle. Through the shul and the institute, we have the privilege to deliver a wide variety of shiurim, lectures, and learning opportunities. But we need your help. We need your partnership. When you purchase a raffle ticket, or many, you are helping us to continue to ensure that we could spread the beautiful and meaningful message to literally all four corners of the world. Thank you in advance for your help, and much hatzlacha. All right, Rabbi, say good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf is Nun Vav 56. We are picking up on the Bana Mishnah, Nun Hei Amud Beis 55b. Writes the Mishnah, Halokeach Oshenitan Lavo Matana, Pater B'Maiser Behema. So we'll say, seemingly straightforward halacha. If you go ahead and you purchase an animal, or an animal that is given to you as a matana, that animal is pater from Maiser Behema. So we'll say, very interesting halacha. So in other words, simply put, the only animal that is subject to the laws of Maiser Behema is one which is born into your flock. But if you purchase the newborn animal, you are gifted the newborn animal, it is pater from Maiser Behema. To which the Gemara says, okay, minahani mili, from where do I know this? Am lafkahana du amarkra, bechor banecha titen li, kein ta'aseh l'sharcha, Litzonecha. So we'll say, interesting source. The Pasuk reads, Melei ascha v'dim ascha lo sa'acher, b'char banecha titeni. Right? Give me your firstborn son. Kein ta'aseh l'sharcha, Litzonecha, shiva s'yame mihia im ima b'yama sh'niti titnoli. So should you do to your shar and to your seh, or to your tzon, excuse me, for 7 days it shall be with its mother, and then you'll give it to me. So the Gemara is dashing over here, the juxtaposition between Bechor Adam, right, firstborn of a person, and Tzon, and sheep. What's the nature of the juxtaposition? Bechor Banecha Titin, Likin Ta'asel, L'sharcha L'tzonecha, top of Nun Vav. Ma Banecha, Ein B'lakuach Matana. Just like Rabbi Osai, there is no din of Bechor by your firstborn son. If you purchase the baby, or if the baby is gifted to you, avtzoncha ubekarcha eina belakuach matana. So too, ultimately, when it comes to Maiser Behema and your tzon and your bakar, there is no din of Maiser Behema with a purchased animal or with a gifted animal. Look at Rashi, banecha eina belakuach telo sheicha behulekicha. Matana ela etzlo noldo. Obviously, there's no such thing as Bechor Adam, unless, of course, what? That baby was born to you. There's no din of matana. There's no din of mekach. So too by tzon and bakar, there is no din of meister behema by any animal that is purchased or gifted. To which the Gemara says, 1 second, different topic. Vahai bebechor ksiv. What are you talking about? The discussion over here by Bechor Adam, right, by people, is not the din of Bechor, the din of firstborn. And the juxtaposition of Sharcha Tzonecha is talking about Bechor. So how are you applying this ultimately again to Maiser Behema? Let's well say, understand what happened over here. What we just said, what the drasha was, is the same way that Bechor Adam doesn't apply to a case of where the firstborn child was bought or gifted, so too by Maiser Behema. Maiser Behema doesn't apply to a case of where the animal was purchased or gifted. Tushmara says, what? You're talking about Bechor, you make an application of Bechor to Maiser Behema. So what's going on over here? To which the Gemara says, Amar Kra, Kein Tase. So we'll say, so apparently, there is an extra phrase in this particular subject of Kein Sasa. So shall be done. So we'll say, now, that when it comes to that phrase, im eino inyan lebechar, delo ise ba'asiya, if that phrase is not necessary when it comes to Bechor, because ultimately, I will say, when it comes to Bechor, there is no asiya. right? There's no positive dynamic activity when it comes to Bechor. There's nothing to be done because Bechor is a de facto state, right? Bechor occurs when the firstborn is born. So therefore, again, because ultimately, again, the Bechor is already sanctified from the womb. Therefore, we'll say, use that phrase ultimately for what? For Meiser Behema. So we'll say, so essentially what's happening here is really quite fascinating. The drasha that's being advanced is a drasha that is made ultimately by Bechor. And the drasha by Bechor says that just as a Bechor Adam cannot be purchased and cannot be gifted. So to buy an animal, ultimately, again, the Kedusha of Meiser Behema, or Meiser Behema animal, cannot be gifted or purchased. Rather, it must be born into the flock. To which the Gemara says, aye, but it's thinking about by Bechor, not by Meiser Behema. Extra phrase, Kein Tasa. Kein Tasa is not necessary over here for this context. So Kein Tasa, Bosei, means that the same way that this halacha applies ultimately, again, by Bechor, it applies ultimately by Meiser Behema as well. Beautiful. To which the Gemara says, Ema, Teneu inyan lechatas ula asham. Well, maybe Kein Tasa comes to teach you that this concept should be applied to a chatas and an asham. And maybe the only type of animal that you could bring for a chatas or an asham is what? Is a type of animal that is born into your flock. But if you purchase an animal, or an animal ultimately is gifted to you, you can't use it for a chatas and an asham. Maybe that's the pasuk coming to teach me. To which the Gemara says, no. No, I'll tell you why. Dumya debincha. Because we'll say the Pasuk is saying that the shar and the bakar in question over here has to resemble my child. Ma bincha she'ino ba'achit. Just like I will say, bechor has nothing to do with sin. Af tzoncha v'sharcha she'ino ba'achit. So too the tzon and the shar mentioned in the Pasuk should have nothing to do with sin. Therefore, again, I will say the pasuk cannot be coming to teach me about chatos. I ve'ema teneu inyan la'olo v'shlamim. Fine. So I say maybe the pasuk is coming to teach me that what? That halacha l'maisa, the same way that ultimately Bechor Adam doesn't apply to anything that is bought or gifted, so too the tzon and bakar in the pasuk is talking about for an ola and shlamim, and teaching me that any animal used for an ola and shlamim must be born into the flock, cannot go ahead and be purchased or gifted. To which the Gemara says, again, Dumya debincha, ma bincha she'eno ba b'neder u'nedava, afzon chavasharcha she'eno ba b'neder u'nedava. Therefore, we'll say again, the pasuk compares tzon and shor to my son. Just like my son cannot be offered up, so to speak, as a neder and a nedava, i.e., again, I will say, the status of Bechor is a de facto status, so too the tzon and the bakar mentioned here in the pasuk is dealing with something that cannot be offered up as a neder or a nedava. Good. The ima teneu inyan la'olas ri'ya. So maybe the pasuk is coming to teach you like this. Just like Bechor cannot be acquired through mekach, through purchase, or through gift, so to the animal brought for the olas re'iyah cannot be purchased or gifted as well. To which the Gemara says, Dumya debincha. Once again, the animals in question have to resemble my child. Ma bincha shein kavua lozman. Just like Rabbi say, Bechor is not dependent on time. In other words, there is no window for Bechor. Bechor is a function of being the firstborn, but it's not tethered to any particular time. Avshar chavetzoncha shin kavo alozman. So Rabbi say the shar and the tzon and the pasuk are also talking about circumstances where what? Where there is no kavua time. And since olas re'iya has a kavua time, it can't be what is learned out from the pasuk. I ima bincha ino belakuach klal. Avshar chavetzoncha incha belakuach klal. So we'll say, so therefore again, what we have over here is as follows. The drasha that the Gemara, here's what we know, let's follow the progression. Mishnah taught me, the Mishnah taught me that halacha lemaisa, if you go ahead and you purchase an animal, or an animal is gifted to you, it is not subject to Maaser Behema. It's put for Maaser Behema. Where do I know that from? The Gemara, interestingly enough, is learning it out from the Drasha, the juxtaposition of Sharcha and Soncha to Bechar. To teach me that just as Bechar ultimately only applies to something or to someone that is not purchased or gifted, so too ultimately, again, Maaser Behema only applies to an animal that is not purchased or gifted. That's talking about Bechar, not Maaser Behema. How do we answer that? Kein Sase. Extra phrase. We just went through now an exhaustive list of teaching me, well, why can't you use it for this? Why can't you use it for this? Why can't you use it for this? And we discounted all that possibility. So therefore, the drasha remains intact. Now we're going to challenge one piece of this. So the Gemara says as follows. Ima bincha inu b'lakuach klal. So we said before that just like again for Bechor Adam, your firstborn son cannot be purchased, right? I think you're talking about a firstborn son that is born to you. Can't be purchased or gifted in any way. So he said that the shar and the tzon over here, when it comes to Maaser Behema, cannot be purchased or gifted in any way. If that's the case, Alama Amrab Asi Amrab Yochanan. Why is it that Rabbi Asi and Rabbi Yochanan? Listen to this. This is a fascinating case. Lakach asara ubrin b'may iman. Rabbi said, let's watch this. You bought 10 sheep in utero. You bought 10 sheep in utero. So we'll say, so what's the halacha? Kulam nichnasin ledir lis aser. When they are born, they all form a Maaser Behema cohort. You put them in the pen when they're born, and you select it. You take the 10th animal from Maaser Behema. So what do you see from here? That Maaser Behema does apply to animals which you purchase. Amarava, Rava says, no, that's a different case. Amikra, te'aseh. Mosai, the Pasuk says, te'aseh, kein se'aseh, l'sharcha l'tzonecha. What do I learn from that? Beshas asiya mieta kasov. The disqualification for purchasing an animal for Maaser Behema purposes only applies in a time where the animal is subject to the laws of Maaser Behema. When is an animal subject to the laws of Maaser Behema? Only when it's alive, right? When it's in utero, it is not subject to the laws of Maaser Behema. So because of that, if you go ahead and you purchase an animal in utero, then halacha l'maisa again, and you purchase that animal is not disqualified. It's only once it's born that it's disqualified. So we'll say, so a fascinating exception to our rule. The rule is still intact, which is, any animal that you purchase ultimately is not subject to the laws of Maaser Behema. So I'll say, so if you are looking to circumvent the laws of Maaser Behema, don't raise livestock, purchase livestock. But that only applies to born livestock, living livestock. If you go ahead and you purchase animals in utero, you purchase ubrin, so I'll say ultimately, again, those animals will be subject to the laws of Maaser Behema. Again, why? Same drasha, interestingly enough, kein sa'aseh, only at a time of asiya, only at a time when the animals themselves are subject to the laws of Maaser Behema, are they exempt if they're purchased. But if they're not yet subject, i.e. they're in utero, then even if you purchase them, they will later on be subject to the laws of Maaser Behema. Incredible. Gufa, we're also going to analyze this more. Amar Basi, Amar Biyochanan. Lokach asara ubrin b'may iman. If you purchased 10 animals in utero, while they're still obviously in utero, so kula nichnasin ladir leis aser. Ultimately, when they are born, they all form a unit for Maaser Behema purposes. Ay v'ha anan tzinan halakuach o shenitan lo b'matana patra min Maaser Behema. So it was, but one second. We'll say the Gemara is rehashing this conversation a little bit. But we learned in the Mishnah that if you purchase animals, or if they're given to you as a matana, you are patra from Maaser Behema. So how do you reconcile these two halachas? So Rabbi Lazar says as follows. Rabbi Yochanan, chazai b'chilma. Let's listen to this. Rabbi Lazar says, last night, I saw my Rebbe, Rabbi Yochanan, in a dream. Milsa ma'al yamina. That means today, I'm going to say something really good. As well, say so good. It's good to remember. If you see your Rebbe in a dream, first of all, halavai. These are the dreams we should have, right? Halavai should be dreaming about our Rebbeim. So Rabbi Yochanan, so Belozer says, last night I saw my Rebbe Yochanan in a dream, and whenever I see my Rebbe in a dream, I know I'm going to say something good in the Beis Medrash. Amikra, which we'll say also means sometimes if you don't see your Rebbe in a dream the night before. It could be that it's kedai to think about what you're going to say in the Beis Medrash as well. Right? It goes both ways. It goes both ways. So it says the Gemara. So I'm going to say something really good. Amakra te'ase. We'll say, so therefore again, Rabbi Loza says, the Pasuk says, te'ase b'shas asiya miei takosu. So we'll say, so here again, Rabbi Loza is giving the same answer we gave before. The Gemara is just working this through again. Rabbi Loza says, the Pasuk says, kein se'ase, which teaches me that what? The exclusion of bought or purchased animals only applies when the animal is alive and subject to the laws of Meister Behema. That's when ultimately a bought or gifted animal will be exempt from Meister Behema. But if you purchase the animal in utero, then when it's not yet subject to the laws of Meister Behema, when it is born, it will be subject to the laws of Meiser Behemo. Esir b'shem el yakim l'rabalazer. Esir b'shem el yakim reitz kash l'rabalazer. Halokeach, halakuach. Chal al mechusar zman. Well, this is actually an interesting statement. Look at Rashi. Chal al mechusar zman. Shim lakcho kodim shivas yamim l'leidaso. Shuv eno nichnas l'dir l'his aser. So let's listen to this. So comes along Reb Shimon, and Reb Shimon says as follows. If you purchase an animal before it is 7 days old, right? So we'll say, so remember again, I should say before it's 8 days old. There's a halacha that says as follows. When an animal is born, for the first 8 days of its life, or for the first 7 days of its life, it must remain with its mother. Only from 8 days and on can the animal be offered up as a carbon. So say, so now watch this. Comes Rosh Hashanah and says as follows. What happens if you buy a 1-day-old animal? So we'll say that animal is called Mechusar Zman. Why is it called Mechusar Zman? Why? You cannot offer it up as a carbon. Comes along Rabbi Shimon and El Yakim and says something very interesting. If you purchase an animal that is Mechusar Zman, ultimately, what's the halacha? The halacha is that disqualifies it from entering into the pen for Meiser Behema purposes. Look at Rashi. Chalal Mechusar Zman, Shim Lakcho Kodim Shiva Semen Leidaso. If you purchased it within the first 7 days of its birth, Shuv Enonach Nichnas Lodir Leis Aser, it is no longer put in the pen for Meiser Behema purposes. The choshekinim lakcho gadol, and certainly if you bought it when it was already an adult. V'hamechusar zman d'lo shas asiyahi v'chal alei din lakoach. Then both say, now watch this. This is incredible. So Reb Shimon Yochanan comes along to Reb Elazar. Reb Elazar, you just made a drasha. What was the drasha? Kein se'ase. That the disqualification for a purchased or gifted animal only applies when the animal is subject to the laws of Meiser Behema. So for example, therefore, Rabbi Elazar, you said that halacha lemaisa, if you purchased an animal in utero, so that disqualification of a bought or a gifted animal would not apply because the animal is not yet subject to the laws of Meiser Behema. Well, using that same logic, what should be the halacha? If you purchase an animal within the first 7 days where it is not yet fit for sacrificial purposes, it also is not subject to the laws of Meiser Behema. Yet, halacha lemaisa, we know that what? If you have a 2-day-old animal in that pen, and it is not subject to the laws of Meiser Behema. So we'll say, so this is the kasha that he's asking ultimately again on Rabbi Elazar, to which the Gemara says, halakuach amachos resman, amar lei, ze eino mishnah. So Rabbi Elazar responded, this is not part of our formal teachings. And if you want to say the Imtim Salomar Mishnah, and if you want to say it is part of our formal teachings, then what? Then ultimately, again, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehudahi. Ultimately, it reflects the view of Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon Damar Mechusser Zman Nichnas Ladir Lehis Aser. Because also he is of the opinion who says that Allah Kalamaisa, even an animal that is Mechusser Zman, ultimately goes into the pen for Meiser Behema purposes. Vaharihu ki Bechar. And ultimately, again, it'll be just like the Bechar. Ma Bechar Kaddish Lifnei Zmano. Just like the Bechar ultimately is sanctified before its appropriate time. The Karev La'achar Zmano. And it is offered up after its time. Af Mechusser Zman, so to Rabbi Hussein, animal that is Mechusser Zman, Kaddish Lifnei Zmano, will ultimately again be sanctified even before it reaches the proper age, i.e. 8 days old, the Karev La'achar Zmano, and ultimately again will be offered up after its time. Good. So we'll say, so fundamental machlokes we see about the nature of Mechusser Zman and the ability ultimately of a Mechusser Zman to be included in the Meiser Behema tally. Good. So we'll say, so you could, well, look at Rashi for just a moment. Vim Tim Salomar Mishnah Vada Rabbi Shimon. He, Rashi says, was according to Rabbi Shimon, even an animal that is less than 8 days old and not yet fit for sacrificial purposes is still considered as if it has passed the threshold of asiya, and therefore umishum hachi lakuach halalav. Therefore, the disqualification of lakuach would still apply to such an animal. Umiyu b'may ima moded de'in lakuach halalav. But even he would agree that if you purchase the animal in utero, that ultimately it would not be subject to the laws of Meiser Behema. Beautiful. Tani Tanakh Kamei Dirav Dirav. So we'll say the Tanakh taught the following to and from the Rav. Ezu Esnon Shenichnas Ladir Lehis Aser. It's actually an interesting question. There's a situation of Esnon. Esnon is if a man pays a harlot for her services, and he pays her ultimately again in livestock. Esnan, that's Esnan Zona. He gives her this Esnan. So we'll say the halacha is, under normal circumstances, that item is not permitted to be used for sacrificial purposes. Halacha. So says the Gemara, what's the case of an Esnan, of an animal given to a Zona, shenichnas ladir lehis aser, that can be included? Excuse me. That can be included ultimately for a Meiser Behema count, call Shenas Nola. We'll say it's any case where the following happens. A man gives the Zona, the animal, the Chazar Velokcho Hemeno, and then he repurchases it from her. So we'll say, so what happens? Reuben goes to the Zona. He gives her the sheep for her services. He then realizes he has a strong connection with this sheep. They go back. So he decides that, you know what, he wants to repurchase it from her. He repurchases it. Don't read anything into that. There's nothing to be read into that. Oh my gosh. Okay. So he then goes ahead and it's a platonic relationship, right? He goes back and then he realizes that he repurchases the sheep from her. They both say, so watch this. So what's the halacha? So the Gemara says, and now if he puts that sheep back in his pen, that sheep ultimately is counted towards the Meiser Behema tally. So the Gemara says, I v'ha ifsalei b'lokeach. But 1 second. Once he repurchased it from Rabbi, I'll say, then what? This is a purchased sheep. Once it's a purchased sheep, then what? Then what? Then it is precluded, right? Then it's ultimately disqualified from the laws of Meiser Behema. To which the Gemara says, Ishtamite had amir Rabbi Asi. He forgot the statement of Rabbi Asi, Am Rabbi Yochanan, who said as follows, Lakach asara urbin b'may iman, kulan nichnasin ledir lehis aser. That ultimately, if what? We'll say, if what? If halacha lemaisa, you purchase 10 sheep in utero, then halacha lemaisa, when they are born, all 10 of them enter into the pen for Meiser Behema. We'll say, what's the case over here? You didn't give the Zona an actual sheep. Rather, what did you give her? You gave her a fetus. You gave her a fetus. You said, my sheep is pregnant. When the sheep gives birth, I'm going to give, the fetus is yours as payment for your services. Then what happens? Before the sheep gives birth, he repurchases the fetus back from her. Then what the Mishnah, what the Brice is saying is that what? When the fetus is born, it goes back into the pen for Meiser Behema purposes. Amud Beis, Nun Bab Amud Beis. So says the Gemara. Vite Asfei Ihi. So we'll say, if that's the case, so we'll say, it seems to be that the point we're making over here is that if Halacha L'maisa, a man gave a Zona, a fetus, right? He gave her sheep futures. He gave her a fetus as payment for her services. When that fetus is born, it is subject to the laws of Maiser Behema. Okay, if that's the case, why do you have to illustrate that as a case of a man who paid a Zona with a fetus, repurchased the fetus from her, and now is subject to Maiser Behema? Why don't you just say simpler? A man gives a Zona, a fetus, as payment for his services. When the fetus is born, the Zona has an obligation on Maiser Behema. Let's be clear. Just because she's a Zona doesn't mean that she's not makbid on Maiser Behema. And you will say, all of us have our shortcomings, our faults, and our frailties. Just because I'm not so wonderful in one area does not mean that halacha l'maisa don't observe other mitzvahs. So if you want to illustrate this concept that the uber, even if it's sold as an uber, ultimately is subject to Maiser Behema, why do you have to deal with the case of repurchase? Let this be a case of the zona gets the uber, and when ultimately the animal gives birth, she is obligated to go ahead and tithe that uber. To which the Gemara says, you say, Bezona nochris. What are we talking about over here? This is a non-Jewish zona. Velukma bezona Yisraelis vite asre ihi. So okay, so why don't you set it up as a Jewish zona? I'm going to set up the case as a Jewish zona and tell me that if she received the fetus as payment for her services, when that animal gives birth, that fetus is subject to the laws of Maiser Behema. To which the Gemara says, look, I'll tell you the problem. Kamash malon. The zona Yisraelis lo havi esnan. Both say this is fascinating because both say it's teaching me an interesting halacha, which is the concept of esnan zona. Both say the concept that when you pay a zona for her services and you give her livestock, that livestock ultimately is what is not permitted to be used for sacrificial purposes. That only applies to an animal which is given to a non-Jewish zona. Doesn't apply to an animal given to a Jewish zona. Kid Abaye. This, what it's saying over here is this is a technical issue. The definition of esnan zona, payment to a harlot, which cannot be used for sacrificial purposes, is sort of an animal given to a non-Jewish harlot, non-Jewish zona. Kid Abaye. Domer Abaye, zona nachris esnana aser. Abaye says, a non-Jewish zona, her esnan, her payment, ultimately again is aser to be used for sacrificial purposes. Now, not only that, this is amazing. The coin habo aleha, and if a coin, very uplifting. The coin habo aleha, and I want to say ultimately again, if a coin has relations with this non-Jewish zona, I feel like sometimes like it's like a Dafyomi obstacle course, you know, between ringtones and people who seem to get a high from dragging chairs. You know, I'll say it's, you know, not much. Good. That's our resolve. That's a good time for a good public service announcement. You are permitted to lift the chairs when you pull it out. I said you do not have to actively drag them. Good. Says the Gemara. So we'll say there's another interesting halacha, which is that if a kohen goes ahead and has relations with, ultimately again, that a kohen, right, who has relations with a non-Jewish zona, he does not get malchus for lo yichalal zaro. For we'll say there is a law that a kohen is not permitted to profane his offspring. They both say, we're just going to say what that law refers to. That law refers to that if a kohen marries someone he is not allowed to marry, halacha l'maisa, his offspring, he produces chalalim, he's going ahead and profaning his offspring. What the Gemara now is suggesting is as follows, that halacha l'maisa, first of all, the definition of an esnan, the definition of esnan zona, payment for a harlot, which is an animal given to a harlot to pay for her services, that cannot be used for sacrificial purposes, only applies ultimately to a zona nachris, a non-Jewish zona. Again, I want to be clear, I want to go on the record. You are not permitted to go to a Jewish zona either, right? But halacha l'maisa, the animal you give her as payment for her services, does not satisfy the technical criteria of Esnan. That animal could still be used for sacrificial purposes. It's only the animal given to a Zona Nachris. Furthermore, if a Kohen goes to a Zona Nachris, although again he violates certain things else immorality, but he does not violate the particular law of Lo Yichal Zaro. Zona Yisraelis Esnan Amotur. Conversely, I will say, if halacha lemaisa a man goes to a Jewish zona and he pays her with an animal, that animal ultimately again is permitted, i.e., it can be used for sacrificial purposes. The kohen haba aleha lo ke mishum lo yichalel zaro, and ultimately again a kohen who does have relations with her will ultimately again will get malchus for violating the law of lo yichalel zaro, for profaning his offspring. So Gemara explains this now. Zona Nachris Esnana Aser. So we'll say if a man goes to a Zona Nachris and he pays her with an animal, then the animal cannot be used for sacrificial purposes. Why? Gamar To'eva To'eva Me'arayis. Both make Gzir Shava of To'eva To'eva, abomination, abomination from Arayis. Ma'arayos, the law of Tafsi Bakidushin. Both say just like by Arayis, if a man gives a woman an item of value in order to affect kiddushin, ultimately, again, the kiddushin is not affected. Well, this is a very important halacha, right? If a man gives his sister kesef kiddushin, then kiddushin obviously does not work. Af zona b'hach t'lo tafsi b'kiddushin. So too, Atra Bosai. So too, when does the esnan become aser? In a circumstance where kiddushin would not take effect. Rabbi say, what's a circumstance where kiddushin would not take effect? Only with a non-Jewish zona. But with the Jewish zona, technically speaking, so kiddushin could take effect. Rabbi say, what's happening over here? A gzir shav of to'eva, to'eva, from arayos to a zona. Just like to'eva by arayos, it's talking about a situation, the type of arayos, where kiddushin cannot take effect. Rabbi say, remember again, there are different forms of inappropriate relationships. Some of them, kiddushin takes effect. So, for example, a kohen is not permitted to marry grusha, but if he does, the kiddushin works. A man is not permitted to marry his sister. A man is not permitted to marry someone else's wife. In those cases, ultimately, again, that's what Torah calls a to'eva. Kiddushin doesn't take effect. Torah uses the lashon of to'eva by a rayis, lose lashon of to'eva by an esnan zona, right? By a zona. To teach me that what type of zona affects esnan, the type of zona which is a toeva. Which is the type of zona which is a toeva? The type of zona with whom you can't have kiddushin. What type of zona can't you have kiddushin with? A non-Jewish zona. And therefore, we'll say it's only in the case of non-Jewish zona where ultimately, again, the animal takes on the specific halachic designation of an esnan, which means that animal that is given for payment cannot be used for sacrificial purposes. The kohen habala in aloki mishum lo yechal zaro. So I'll say, but if a kohen has relations with a non-Jewish zona, ultimately, again, he doesn't get malchus for violating the particular lav of not profaning his offspring. The Gemara says, the lo yechal zaro v'hai lav zarehu. We'll say for a very simple technical reason. The kohen is not permitted to go ahead and profane his offspring. I will say, technically speaking, if the kohen were to father a child with this non-Jewish zona, so whose child would it be, Rabbi Osei? The zonas. Remember again, I will say, any time that a man fathers a child with a non-Jewish woman, that is not considered to be halachically his child. So therefore, again, the only time where halacha lemaisa, again, there is a prohibition of lo yichalel zaro for the kohen, is when the offspring would be mesiaches after him, which would be with who? With a Jewish zona, right? Bless you. But ultimately, again, halacha lemaisa, with a non-Jewish zona, because the offspring is not mesiaches to him, therefore halacha lemaisa, he is not in violation. So we'll say, it's a very interesting halacha. So what comes out over here is, so we'll say the takeaways are as follows. Number one, halacha lemaisa, the laws of maaser behema do not apply to any animal which you purchase or which you receive as a gift. We learn that out ultimately from the juxtaposition to Bechar. Even though it's not by Bechar, Kein Tasa teaches us ultimately that halacha lemaisa, that is right, that Halacha l'maisa. Fine. Well, so, however, if you purchase animals in euro and those animals are subsequently born, so ultimately the disqualification of a purchased animal does not apply to those animals and they will be subject ultimately to Meiser Behema. We then also saw the fascinating sugya that the definition of Esnan Zona is only an animal given to a non-Jewish Zona. That's what has the designation of an Esnan and it cannot be used for sacrificial purposes. But apparently, the animal given to a Jewish Zona does not have the status as Esnan and therefore could even be used for sacrificial purposes. It's quite amazing. Says the Mishnah, both says Kavaiter. Interesting case. Ha'achin Shechel. Ha'achin va'ashutvin, we'll say brothers, who are inheriting an estate together. Va'ashutvin, and shutvin, we'll say partners. Shechayavin be'kalbon, p'turim ma'aser behema. We'll say, so remember again, let's talk about this just a moment. Kalbon, we'll say, is the extra additional amount that you pay up over and above your machtis ha'shekel. So you would give a machtis ha'shekel, and you would also give a kalbon. Kalbon is a little bit extra. The reason for that, as I will say, is because remember, again, machtis ha'shekel was a coin made of silver, and sometimes it was possible that what would happen, the silver would erode. So in order to ensure that you are giving the correct amount ultimately to the Beis HaMikdash, salach l'maisi, you give a little extra. So we'll say, so just one word about this. When brothers inherit an estate, as we're going to see, is they could have different relationships. They could be called yarshim. Yarshim will say means that they are inheriting the estate, but the estate is still considered to be the property of one person, i.e. the deceased father. They're operating within that framework. Versus when they go ahead and they divide up the estate, they could be called shutfin. They could be called partners. They're both saying there is a machzis ha-shekel nafkamin in this also. A father is permitted to go ahead and give a machzis ha-shekel on behalf of his children. Let's say again, Yaakov has two sons, Reuven and Shimon. Yaakov wants to give master shekel for Reuven and Shimon. So let's say he gives a full shekel. He only gives one kalbon, basically. He doesn't give a kalbon for each of them, just one kalbon for the shekel coin. Versus Reuven and Shimon, who are partners in their father's estate, each are obligated to give their own kalbon for their master shekel. So the Gemara's recording over here is a fascinating relationship. Ha'achin va'ashutfin, anytime that brothers have an estate together and they are partners, shechayavim ha'kalbon, if they're chayiv to give kalbon, p'tur mi'maiser behema. But as we're going to see, maiser behema does not apply to jointly owned sheep. It only, right, anytime that there's a shutfus, it does not apply. Chayavim maiser behema, therefore anytime they're chayiv in kalbon, they're parted from maaser. It's an inverse relationship. Chayav maaser behema. Conversely, if they're chayav maaser behema, then what? Determine a kalbon. They will be parted from kalbon. Kano mitfis asabayis. And what's the kano mitfis asabayis means? If they did not divide up the estate, but instead they're operating together in an undivided estate, chayavin. Ultimately, again, they will be chayav in maaser behema. Ve'imlav, if not, it will say, sounds like what? They divided up the estate, then peturin. Ultimately, again, they will be patur ma'aser behema. Chalku, chazru v'nishtatfu, was an interesting case. What happens if they divide up the estate, disentangling their individual ownership interests, but then they subsequently pool their resources together as a newly minted partnership? Chayavin bekalbon, they will be chayavin kalbon, because each of them, again, are independent operators. Or patur ma'aser behema. But because now there's a shutfus, ultimately, again, they will be patur from ma'aser behema. Supposedly, let's analyze this. Tana Rabbanan. Yeah, the Chabot say, how do I know that jointly owned property is not subject to Meiser Behema? So the Braisa says, Yihiyah lecha, it will be for you. So the Gemara says, V'lo shal shutfus, which teaches me what? It is only individually owned. Only individually owned animals which are subject to Meiser Behema, but nothing in a shutfus. I might have thought that's true. Even if what? Even if halacha l'maaseh, we'll say tfisas habayis means literally the home, the estate is holding on to everything, which refers to an undivided estate. So we'll say, just to understand halachically, when you have an estate of Yaakov who died, and he has two sons, Reuven and Shimon, but Reuven and Shimon have not divided up the estate. They are still operating together. So halacha l'maisa, it is considered to be the estate still of one person. Because of that, that estate will be subject to the halachos of Meiser Behema. So Yachol Afilu Kana B'Tfisa Zabayis. You might have thought, therefore it's true, even if halacha l'maisa, they're operating together, Talmud Lomar Yihyeh, therefore we'll say the pasuk says it will be, right? Yihyeh means we'll say as long as it can be considered the property of one person, as it is in this particular situation where you have an undivided estate, it is still considered to be the property of the patriarch. Ultimately, again, it's chayv in Meiser Behema. V'hai b'bechor k'sibah. 1 second. That pasuk is talking about the bechor. The Gemara says, well, says, remember again, that pasuk, the pasuk you were referencing over here, because that's about Meiser Behema, it's about bechor. Im einu inyan l'bechor, ta'isei b'shutfas. So we'll say, again, very simply, if I don't need to apply this halacha to bechor, because bechor even applies to jointly owned animals, tikhsev u'bechoros b'karchem v'tzonachem, we'll say it's phrased in the plural, so t'inei inyan l'meiser behema, ultimately, again, give it over to Meiser Behema. Amr Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rabbi Yirmiyah says, "Pamim shechayavin bezeh ubazeh, upam shepturim mizeh umizeh, upam shechayavin bekabon upturim Meiser Behema, upam shechayavin Meiser Behema upturim nakabon." So also now the Gemara says, there are times when ultimately, again, the animal will be chayiv in both kabon and Meiser Behema. Sometimes when it's parted from both. Sometimes when it's chayiv in kabon, parted from Meiser Behema. Sometimes when it's chayiv in Meiser Behema, parted from kabon. So let's go through the cases. Chayiv in bazeh ubazeh. When will you have, Rabbi, say, a case of where it will be chayiv both in Meiser Behema and kabon? When is that? Shechalku b'ksafim v'lo chalku b'behema. Where they divided up the money of the estate, but did not divide up the livestock. Peturim izeh umizeh. When will it be parted in both? Shechalku b'behema v'lo chalku b'ksafim. Where they divided up the animals, but did not divide up the money. Chayavim b'kalbon u'patrim ma'aser behema. When will you be chayavim kalbon u'patrim ma'aser behema? Shechalku bazeh u'bazeh. Where you divided ultimately again both. Chayavim ma'aser behema u'patrim min ha'kalbon. When will you be chayavim ma'aser behema? And part from kalbon. Shalo chalku bazeh u'bazeh. Where they divided up neither the money nor the livestock. To which the Gemara says, pshita, these cases are obvious. I'll tell you why I need it. Chalku bebehema, v'lo chalku b'ksavim mitzrichale. I need the case of where they divided up the behema, the animals, but did not divide up the money. That case is needed. It's trichale. Why? Sagadait chamina. I would have thought, kevan de chalku bebehema, galuv datayhu de mifla kaimi, v'le chayvu b'kabon. I might have thought, that since they divided up what? Since they divided up ultimately again, the animals, that's indicative that they're going to divide up the monies as well. And therefore, again, each one should be chayv in kalbon. Kamash molano. Kamash molano will say that even if it looks like they're going to divide up the money, if they have not yet done so, halacha lemaisa, we do not view it ultimately again as divided up. Amar Ravanan, lo shon ela shechalku gedim keneged tayashim, uft yashim keneged gedim. Ravanan said, furthermore, this is only so, Abosai, if they divided up the value of the estate. So, for example, one person, one brother got Gedim, and one brother got Tiyashim. So, Abosai, so they're not dividing up each entity, rather, again, they're dividing up the value of the estate. Aval Cholko Gedim Keneget Gedim, Utiyashim Keneget Tiyashim. But Abosai, if Halacha L'maisa, each brother got a portion of each part of the estate. So each brother got Gedim. Each brother got to Yashim, Omer Zech al Koha Magielo Mishar Rishona, Lekach. So we'll say ultimately again, we view it as if each brother is getting his designated portion, i.e., Breira. Rav Nachman said, Afilu Chalko Gedim Keneget Gedim, Uti Yashim Keneget Kitiyashim, Ein Omrim Zehu Chalko Hamagio Mishar Rishona Lekach. We'll say the other opinion says, I know even if halacha lemaisa, each brother is getting specific parts of the entire estate, you're each getting some chilek of something, we do not say ultimately again, halacha lemaisa, that each brother is getting their breira portion, and therefore halacha lemaisa, the division will not apply. Well, we'll stop over here for today. We'll be Mir Sashem pick up with this further division piece in Mir Sashem tomorrow. Shkoyach.